Springbok Radio proudly presents Tales from the Seven Seas. Stories specially written for this series by Annette McKenzie and Jack Mullen, and introduced by Hamish McLeod.
Tonight's tale is taken from a page of South African history. In the 18th century, Table Bay Harbour was far from being a safe haven, particularly in the winter months, when the northwest gales raged in from the sea. For this reason, in 1743, the Dutch East India Company declared Table Bay out of bounds to company ships from mid-May to mid-August. Instead, they were to lie at Simon's Bay, where a company station was to be established. This meant that ships had to be provisioned from Cape Town, involving a journey of more than 20 miles by cart over very indifferent roads, to say the least of it. So, to avoid this inconvenience on many occasions, the regulation was ignored. On the last day in May 1773, despite the angry weather, five company ships, contrary to instruction, were anchored in Table Bay. Among them was the merchantman, De Jonge Thomas. During the night, the weather worsened and became a virtual hurricane. The waves whipped into a foaming, churning tumult. Rain lashed at sea, ships and shore, and the skies cracked with thunder and were lit by awesome shafts of lightning. Towards dawn on the 1st of June, the final anchor holding the De Jonge Thomas began to drag. The hawser was in imminent danger of snapping. When that happened, the ship would be completely at the mercy of the raging wind and the frenzied sea. With 207 people on board, the ship's captain, Barent Lameren, was facing a terrifying decision. I've called my story The Hand on the Bridle.
The hawser can't last, Captain. The next wave may be the one that snaps her. It can't hold. We'll be smashed to pieces.
We can beat her while we still control her.
But, Captain,
We still control her, I say. We have no choice. We must sever the hawser and hoist light sail.
Hoist sail?
Hoist sail, Captain.
Yeah, and beach the ship. Level sand, just north of the Zolder Yamal.
It's impossible.
We have no choice.
We'll never manage.
Every second counts. Do as I order and quickly. Before we've lost the one chance we have.
Unfortunately, the one chance was already lost. Captain Lameren didn't know it, but the Salt River had swollen its banks, and the mouth was blocked by a sandbar. The wind screeched through the rigging as the Jonge Thomas dashed headlong to her doom. Broadside onto the sandbank, and within moments was wrenched in two by the vicious waves. Many of the 207 people aboard were drowned in that horrific instant. The rest clawed at the broken hulk and hung there, peering with terror-stricken eyes through the darkness towards the spray-whipped shore, towards their only hope of rescue. And the dim, wintry dawn revealed the proximity of the wreck to the shore. The terrified, desperate cries of the survivors clinging perilously to wreckage was clearly audible. So close to land, yet so close to death. The news of the wreck reached the castle, and immediate action was taken.
Corporal! Corporal!
Sir?
Merchantman Agrand near the Sutrafir Mat.
It comes as no surprise, sir. That storm last night...
Broken her back on the sandbank. She won't last long.
And already company property is being swept ashore. The scavengers will be out in number.
What of survivors, sir?
I'm to command a force of 30 soldiers. Muster them. See them mounted,
sir.
An armed party, Corporal. And quickly as possible.
Yes, sir.
And Corporal!
Sir?
We'll need to erect a gibbet.
Gibbet, sir?
That's what I said. So see that we have the necessary materials.
Sir,
you're wasting time, Corporal. You're wasting time. Muster the men. At once. Halt!
Whoop, whoop! Glad to see you know your duty, young Jeneson.
Mynheer Voltermader. Good morning.
And good morning to you. Well, am I permitted to enter, now that you know who I am and you've done your duty?
May I know the nature of your business at the castle, Mynheer Voltermader?
I've come to see my son, Christian, to bring him some food. Soldier needs to fill his belly if he's of any use in his calling.
Well, Corporal Voltermader isn't here. They left almost an hour ago.
They? Where have they gone?
Have you not heard?
It would seem not, wouldn't it?
The wreck at the Sotrafia mouth.
Wreck?
The younger Thomas, a merchantman, smashed up on a sandbank, and 30 of our men under the command of Lieutenant Artwis have been sent to the spot.
And Christian is among them?
Yes, he is. They are there to protect company property, prevent pilfering.
Ah, well, I'm sure the Christian will have even more of an appetite for the food I've brought. I'll take it to him.
They may not let you onto the beach, Mynheer Voltermader.
Indeed? And why not?
Well, they have orders.
Orders forbidding a soldier to eat? I don't think that delivering sustenance to him will conflict with any orders. Goodbye, young Jeneson, and thank you for the information.
Goodbye, Mynheer Voltermader. Be careful.
A gibbet! That's what we're making. A gallows. Whether it's used or not depends on you. No one else. I am commanded to inform you that whosoever attempts to remove any salvage from the shore, whosoever even approaches the shoreline, will be hanged immediately, without trial or sentence of judgment being passed upon him. All property whatsoever which may come ashore from the stricken vessel out there is company property. Everything belongs to the company. And anyone attempting to remove so much as one article feloniously now knows what punishment he faces. Be warned! Be warned! Stay away from the shore.
But what if the poor wretch is aboard the wreckage?
That is not your affair! Ask. We have the harbor master with us. He will decide what, if anything, can be done. Well, what do you think?
Hopeless. It's hopeless. That's all I can say. With the surf as it is and the vessel breaking up. Oh, look, you can see how the waves wash over. It's hopeless. There's nothing we can do for the poor devils. Nothing we can do.
What is it, Corporal?
There have been some survivors. Hardy swimmers who braved the surf and survived. They wish to be taken to the town.
That is not possible at present. I cannot spare men to escort them.
Then, may they go unescorted?
No. That would be foolishness. It is better that they remain here, under our protection.
Under guard? Is that what you mean, sir?
I mean under our protection, Corporal. Under our protection. And I would remind you that insolence to superior officers will not be tolerated. I intend... That man. Hey!
You! Get away from there! What do you think you're doing? That is company property. I will have you hanged.
Mine. It's mine, sir. My trunk from the ship.
Yours? Ha, ha, ha. Yours? It's company property.
It's mine. I swam ashore. This trunk is mine. I wear the key. I wear the key around my neck, see?
He is one of the survivors, sir.
Don't be too sure of that, Corporal. He may have survived the sea. But will he survive the gibbet?
Ah, sir, I'm sure he speaks the truth. It's mine. It's mine, I swear. It's, see, the key. This is the key.
Everything washed ashore is company property.
My name is on the trunk. Carved on it.
It belongs to the company. Now get away from it. And count yourself most fortunate that you're not this moment swinging from a gibbet. Now get away! You there! Horseman! Stop where you are! You're not permitted to approach the shore. Company instructions. Who are you? What do you want here?
I'm carrying a loaf of bread and a bottle of wine.
Well, what of it? Answer my questions. Who are you? What are you doing here?
My son is under your command, Lieutenant. Corporal Voltemader.
Oh, yes. So you're Voltemader's father, are you?
Why are you here?
To bring food to my son. Have I your permission to take it to him?
He's down there, overseeing the stackage of the salvage. You may ride down. But be quick. I have my orders.
Thank you, Lieutenant. And don't worry, I won't keep Christian from his duty. Whoa there. Whoa there, boy.
There are people out there. Their lives are in mortal danger. No one is doing anything to help. Why?
Father, what are you doing here?
Oh. But Father?
Oh. Christian.
Are you all right? I asked what you were doing here, Father.
Some food for you. Bread. Wine. Here.
Oh, thank heaven for that. My stomach has been complaining for the past hour. Thank you, Father. You look ill. Are you feeling all right?
Christian. Out there, on the wreckage. Survivors.
I know, Father. I know. Some have swum ashore successfully. But most who have tried have been caught in the fierce current surging out from the swollen river mouth. They've just disappeared. Gone.
But what are those clinging to the broken hull? What's being done?
What can be done, Father?
But the people from the town, they just stand there far back from the water's edge. Just watching. I don't understand.
They've been ordered to stay back. We have orders to protect company property. To prevent pilfering, thieving. We have orders.
Orders, orders, orders. Everyone speaks of orders.
I'm a soldier.
I, too, was a soldier. I was a soldier for more years than you spent on this earth. But in heaven's name, those are people out on that wreck. Human beings.
Father, there is nothing...
Your precious orders to keep people from pilfering have made certain that there will be no rescue attempt.
I did not give the orders. But I must obey them. In any case, there is no way of rescuing them. The harbor master was here.
Did he try to reach those unfortunates?
No, he didn't. He said...
Then don't speak to me of the harbor master, Christian. One thing is certain. Out there, they'll all drown unless something is done. And soon. Oh,
look at the sea, Father. How could anyone hope to reach the wreckage? It would be madness. It would be madness to try.
Then you must count me as mad, Christian.
Father, you can't seriously mean to swim your horse out into that. I won't let you.
No more talk. Precious seconds are wasting. What?
Father, don't. Don't.
The old man nodded his mount through the turbulent surf. The shouts of his son, the great cry from both ship and shore, he heard none of these. He had one purpose only, to reach the wreckage of the young Thomas, to save life. His horse was sturdy and a good swimmer, and seemed imbued with his master's determination.
Not much further. Little further, let's go. Little further. And now, we turn, face the shore.
Themselves from the crowd when horse, rider, and rescue reached the safety of the sands. Willing hands reached out to help the two survivors. Baltimore pulled sharply on the reins to turn his courageous mount once again into the breakers towards the young Thomas. Seven times horse and rider braved the thundering, threatening sea. Seven times made the perilous double journey, and 14 men were brought to shore, saved from certain death by Volrat Baltimore. But by this time, both the brave old man and his sturdy horse were close to collapse with strain and fatigue. Baltimore dismounted. Gasping for breath, supporting his weary body against the saddle, he stroked the horse's mane.
There, my brave one. There.
Father! Thank heavens you're safe.
So weary, Christian, so weary. And my poor, brave horse. What courage he has. There, my beauty. What courage.
And you, Father. You. Seven times. Not once, but seven times. Oh, thank heavens it's over and you're safe. Listen to them, Christian. Listen to them.
They've seen me dismount. They're in despair.
Father.
I was their only hope.
You have saved 14 lives. No man can do more than you have done.
Listen to them. Listen to them. Perhaps one more journey.
No, Father. You've done enough. You can do no more. You're not able for it.
The horse is not able for it.
One more. Only one more.
No, Father. I must try, Christian. I must try. Now help me, Mount.
No, no. You've done enough.
I cannot bear to hear those cries. I must try. I must.
Slowly, laboriously, horse and rider fought their dangerous way to the wreck of the young Thomas. And the stricken sailors knew that this was their last chance, their final hope of rescue. There was no hesitation. More than half a dozen leapt from the wreck. Crazed with fear, they struggled to gain a hold, their fingers frantically seeking a firm grip. In their frenzy, they grasped at anything within reach. The horse's tail, the saddle, the stirrups, the old man's sodden coat, and the horse's bridle. It happened in an instant. The weight on the bridle dragged the horse's head beneath the water, and the brave animal was drowned. Drowned, too, were the panicking sailors, and Volrath Voldemar. It happened in an instant. That fatal hand on the bridle. A total of 67 people survived the wreck, including the 14 Voltemada had saved. In sacrificing his life to save the lives of others, Volrath Voltemada assured himself of a prominent place in the annals of the brave. And his selfless act still shines through the darkness of time like a bright beacon.
You've been listening to Tales from the Seven Seas, written by Annette McKenzie and Jack Mullen. Listen next week at the same time to another enthralling story of the sea, produced by Andre Botman.